My next thought is, did Alyssa have more? Because she had an agenda, right? Or she had stuff, right, that she notified you about.
Yep. She wanted to talk about coalescence.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be a good place to start. Do you have that book out, Bob? Can you read that section again where it went over the coagulation and coalescence?
Yep. So I'll look up in the index to see where what numbers they have.
So coagulation is liquid becoming solid. And
oh, wait a minute. Wait, I'm looking up and they don't have it listed in the index. But I made my own little index, knowing that they'd fail at it. So we will try to find it. I mean, here's my topics. I've got a major page number, many page numbers listed for Ion and Bob. All right? I find lots of Ion and Bob in it. I find a lot of post-media. They use that term. A lot of post-human. A lot of McLuhan, a lot of phylum, a lot of rhizome, synchronic versus diachronic, a couple pages on the five bodies, Wyndham Lewis, a whole bunch of pages on Finnegan's Wake, on denotation and connotation, the Watergate scandal, Manipian satire, post-McLuhan, Trumpism, concept of time, form, matter, substance, Derrida, crime and punishment flips, Monad, dissensus as opposed to consensus, semiosis or discourse, punctum, Gnosko's agenda or problem, his intellectual agenda he's supposed to be answering, fascism, disservices, quadrophenia, the AP over the Android meme, tactility, semiology, crystallize, the word pathic, the artist, the critic Hansen, and a reference to the 19th century linguist, structuralist Peirce, so Peircean hybrids, discursive versus non-discursive, univocal, form slash matter, identity, quarks, LaRouche, sign dust, myth, cities, becomings, the I cell, I find stuff I can relate to the I cell, effect theory, Zappa, Trump again, zero, parallel worlds, from analog to digital. Let me just correct something here. So Peirce, that would be two. Put number two because I put it in twice. Just discovering that. And then next page, stages of apprehension, metaphysics, substance, force, pulses and fluxes, stages of apprehension again. Oh, better point out that I've done that twice. The unconscious, mathemes, despotic signifier, collage, anthropomorphic physical. I think I already did that. Maybe make this second time. Manna, zombie sign, Joseph Beuys, machine enslavement versus social subjection, coagulation, a whole bunch of pages there. Carolyn, she's mentioned a couple times, or Carolyn-related themes. Hylomorphism, consonants, singularization, symbolic versus semiological, genuine fake, postmodern illusion, anti-metaphysics, separateness, difference, the ether of metaphysics, desire, Android memes, replay, technology, Veronian satire, Watergate, chemical body, Mouse, the anthropologist, M-A-U-S-S, Baudrillard's change, Baudrillard's reciprocity, Baudrillard's reversibility, Warhol minutes, Scylla and Charybdis from James Joyce, Vertigo of Implosion, Reality TV, Drama of Cognition, Post-McLuhan. Oh, didn't I already say Post-McLuhan? We heard that, right?
Yeah.
Post-McLuhan. Where did I put that?
It was early on.
Right. Post-McLuhan. We know we heard it. So
maybe, yeah, I thought you said, I definitely thought you said that.
It started over, Bob. I'm just kidding.
You heard it? What did he say?
I didn't hear Post-McLuhan, but I'll take Ellis's word for it.
Ah,
he said start over again. Do you list the pages underneath these themes? Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Like I've got, for Finnegan's Wake, I've got maybe 15 pages annotated.
Mm-hmm.
I found Post McLuhan, page 89, and then I repeat it. Yeah, see, so I got to put it too. Sometimes I redo it and forgot that I already made the category, so I make a new category with a new page.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that. And then we got domination versus hegemony, Manichaean satire, tensors, tetrad, pentadic, expression versus content planes, and that's it. But we found coagulation, so we go to page 98.
I liked hearing all of that. That was really cool.
Yeah. That's New Form Entertainment. Bob listing off his notes.
Right. Very yeah, exciting. Remember when I wanted to do an art show with your notes, Bob?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Have we re-inspired it? We re-inspired it?
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I'm doing other things right now, but that would be fun to do someday. Did you list disservices and quadrophenia as two separate things, or were they together?
They normally would be separate. They're separate things. Quadrophenia is not always a... Yeah, disservices was listed right before it, so they came together. And disservices on page 110 and quadrophenia on page 111. So they're very close. That's why you might think they were together.
Yeah, I would have asked you to talk about that if they were together. But, yeah, that makes sense that they were separate.
Right. Okay. So page 98.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see where I assume this is where he first talks about it. Okay, there it is. So this is page 98. So Gary Ganasco says, like Deleuze, so who's he talking about? I guess he means Guattari. And they were partners in a lot of stuff they did. Like Deleuze, Guattari's sense of form and matter transforms into active meetings between forces or force-matter relationships marked by reversals and reciprocities and presuppositions. Guattari replaces forms with abstract machines, and they do not consist of substances because form is substance as they lack distinctiveness. And a quote from Deleuze and Guattari, they, the machines, know nothing of form and substance. There is an important condition attached to this. Since abstract machines do not control all of the activities of articulation and disarticulation that take place on the strata and escape it, substance is not excluded in the thickenings and coagulations, and that's italicized, that arise. Here, coagulation is a kind of consistency on the strata that functions below the threshold of well-formedness, consisting of loose and irregular aggregates and lingering destratifying forces. Then it says, the conceptual indebtedness of semiocapitalism to this reticent and molecular semiotics reveals itself in the way that it is distilled into a function and does not yet culminate in a distinct stratified representation, a physically formed substance. Substance in this account is bracketed in order to release the dynamic elements of encounters. Further, what makes this approach molecular is the desemiotizing effect of forestalling the move to substance and well-formedness by maintaining independence from the direct determination of formed substances, in quotes, unformed matters and non-formal functions. An abstract machine directly pilots matter prior to the strata of pertinent semiotic distinctions between signifier expression and signified slash content. Traits are not yet formalized into signs like icons, indices, and symbols with their respective objects. In short, Guattari reinvented the terms and relations of Jelmes-Levian theory, but not only by making form an abstract machine independent of substance, but by bringing unformed matter back into the picture after it was left outside of glossomatics for science to study. Now, all these quotes I'm reading, I've got a lot of ion. There's lots of descriptions of ion here. Think of ion making substance, the eye cell, but nobody can see it.
Unformed matter, back into the
picture. Unformed matter, right. So, So in so doing, Guattari broke the pincers of proliferating dichotomies at the heart of structuralism, without himself establishing a new dualism between abstract machines and formed semiotic strata or strata. He advanced on Helmslev by treating unformed matter as a phylum that bears singularities in its movements and non-formal functionality as a diagram that carries alien expressivity in its movements, such as aberrant poetic syntaxes full of agrammatica constructions. How's that for a description of Ion? The theory of semiocapitalism received a major conceptual and semiotic impetus.
Well, wait, Bob. You said, do you mind just going back? You said that describes Ion, but agrammatica.
Yeah.
Go into that a little bit more. Do you mean Ion in terms of specifically that part of the sentence or kind of just the whole gist?
Yeah, well, Gary's saying that analyzing the new machinic, a-signifying culture, you treat unformed matter as a phylum that bears singularities, that's like Ion creating gods, in its movements. Mm-hmm. Just lately it was advocating movements. And also non-formal functionality. And it's like doing something without getting hung up on what you're doing. Non-formal functionality. As a diagram, you get my chart.
Mm-hmm.
So these singularities and movements as a diagram that carries alien expressivity. That's Ion. He's alien. They are alien expressivity. Mm-hmm. Carries that in its movements, such as aberrant poetic syntaxes. So that's poetic grammar full of constructions, but they are agrammatical constructions. In other words, they're Finneganese.
Yeah,
you gotta write
and how your chart...
nonsense to get close to what's
right.
going on.
Mm-hmm. And your chart could be seen as that, too, where there's a bunch of signified things, but they're not laid out in a grammatical way. But
they're laid
definitely...
out in a diagrammic way. No,
yeah.
It's supposed to be visual space. The NREM is presented in visual space mathematics, very defined, categorized. So that people think I'm describing nouns, and I tell them, no, that's just the way the paper makes it look like. So the paper distorts the Android meme. So
yeah,
all these boxed-in categories, which are fun under paper conditions, if you have no problem with paper conditions, like Alex, he's a POB, so he likes paper conditions.
Totally.
He'd like the chart. He'd like to look at all the little boxes. And this is being described here. Such as aberrant poetic syntaxes full of agrammatical constructions. That's literally my chart.
The reason I bring up your chart in specific, the Finnegan's Wake part is really fun to parallel there, but your chart it starts in visual space, but to understand the chart, you can't just look at it and know what it is. So
That leads
to the agrammatical, a-signifying aspect beyond the paper, beyond the paper dynamic. And you have to move to a acoustic conversation plus your own perception that you create some sort of singularity which changes and ebbs and flows depending on how you're, contextualizing your situation. So that's what's
went to college, man. Well said. You must have gone to college, right?
Well, and I dig your chart. I'm thinking of, I've been processing your new chart, and so I'm thinking about this stuff.
Right.
But yeah, okay. So the coagulation part was essentially in semiotics, that's kind of like the strata of all these signified signifiers that are kind of formed in a sort of metaphorical strata. They've got layers and they can be defined. But this coagulation is some sort of membranic lava, like underneath, that
before,
has some form.
Before the formness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, they say here coagulation is a kind of consistency on the strata that functions below the threshold of well-formedness. And what's it made up of? Consisting of loose and irregular aggregates and lingering de-stratifying forces. Like, it's trying not to be visualized.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that makes me think of the eye cell, too.
Right, so he's trying to describe a consistency that's non-visual. I mean, it'd be very hard to visualize, but it is there, like the eye cell, it is there, and it works, but mm-hmm. you can't see it. So coagulation mm-hmm. is a non-visible object that should be seen, mm-hmm. but can't be under these asignifying conditions.
You could kind of bring in the non-Newtonian aspect to,
yeah.
Quantum
to
that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So then, okay, that helps clear that up for me. And then what was the coalescence part? I felt like you were comparing and contrasting the...
Yes, it was.
Okay.
So that was coagulation, a non-forming clotting.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to have...
Yeah.
It must be both form, must be the opposites. When you're dealing with this post... Gutenberg galaxy, just like, you know, subatomic particles. You can't see where they are and get their velocity. There's lots of frustrations
right.
in trying to visualize it. So they're taking a coagulation, which is a very visual thing, a knotted blocking, and then using words that you can't see to describe it. That's going through this book constantly. Why not just say, I'm writing about non-visual, non-writable things? So he's always saying what was when we could visualize it, that's structuralism, and what happens when we start writing books on the post-structuralist or the opposite of what structuralism was trying to do.
Right.
So let's see, did I finish? Just let's finish this paragraph.
Okay.
The terms of this encounter are worked out by Guattari. I don't think I read that part. Okay. Yeah, we got to agrammatical constructions. Then, the theory of semiocapitalism received a major conceptual and semiotic impetus when Guattari's imagination was activated by the provocative idea of function-matter relations outside of signification. See, right there. Function-matter relations outside of visual space. Therefore, thinking about the relation between semiotic and material as conjoinable mutual intensities, thinking about that engages the materiality of the semiotic and the semioticity of the material. The terms of this encounter are worked out by Guattari through the substitution of collective for individuating enunciations, so collective enunciation instead. Non-human, he worked out non-human for human-centered fluxes. And artificial for natural reference. And collective for individuality.
Wow.
In a number of texts, Guattari had recourse to technological examples to explain the potential he wanted to explore. Machinic conjunctions between semiosis and matter might involve either the piloting or guidance of fluxes of equations, in brackets, logic machines and electrons. I'll read that again. Machinic conjunctions between, this is technological examples to explain the potential. So you're supposed to find potential in here. Machinic conjunctions between semiosis and matter might involve either the piloting or guidance of fluxes of equations or logic machines and electrons. Further, Guattari invokes one of his own inventions, the grille, la grille, which means the grid, that he used at Clinique de Bleu-la Borde. So he had some kind of clinic and maybe a place called Borde. An abstract machine written on a piece of poster paper that conjoined the fluxes of time, labor, tasks, and money into a rolling schedule of work assignments that broke from hierarchical organizational prerogatives and existing divisions of labor and specialism, and for a time put brooms in the hands of doctors and medicines in the hands of patients and kitchen pots in the hands of groundskeepers and dirty linen in the hands of administrators, and so on. The overarching political goal was to put groups into contact with the fluxes when they were otherwise prevented from doing so by the institution's existing organigram of power. So he's trying to mix up kinetically the categories, having people move around with different purposes in the wrong context.
Yeah. In the top of that paragraph, Bob, when it talks about the machine as a conjunction,
yeah,
between formulas or equations and electrons, that's kind of like new AP talk, isn't it?
Yep. He's trying to show how the machines create an environment that the chemical body could play with.
Yeah, exactly.
Be more relaxed about how they operate in the context. And I have ion beside that whole paragraph.
Right.
Ion's an abstract machine written on a piece of poster paper that conjoined the fluxes of time, labor, tasks, and money. He puts all those together into a rolling schedule of work assignments. That would be your question and answers. That broke from hierarchical organizational prerogatives. He did that. And existing divisions of labor and specialism. And then he put different things in different peoples. And for a time, ion put brooms in the hands of doctors, and medicines in the hands of patients, and kitchen pots in the hands of groundskeepers, and dirty linen in the hands of administrators, and so on. The overarching political goal by ION was to put groups into contact with the fluxes when they were otherwise prevented from doing so by the institution's existing organigram of power.
That's nice.
3D world, the organic world of power.
That really shows ION as a new ground when you read that, especially that last sentence, putting people in. Yeah, that's great.
Groups into contact with the fluxes.
But...
Relaxing allows. Mm-hmm. The relaxing allows. Okay.
And the
so
part where it says that it wouldn't, and the part that it says it wouldn't be, they wouldn't be able to experience this outside of the normal institution.
Yeah.
Because the Android meme
doesn't.
No, I think
they said that. Didn't they say that's the only place they can experience it is outside?
Right. But I'm saying that you have ion there, so I'm seeing it through that
right.
perception. And what I'm trying to think through right now verbally is that the Android meme, one of the disservices is that it props up some of those institutional hierarchies, even though, ION's much more of a complete experience with what that paragraph that you just read, and it would be important to kind of show how the Android meme seems like it's doing that, but it's not, and so then that's kind of like. Not a true ground, but ION is able to do that in a way that's more complete.
Yeah, this guy's just getting people taking their routine tasks and having them do it differently. The doctors are given the janitor's task with the brooms. The other guys are given medicines are given to the patients to hand out to people. They become the doctors. So taking your role of a patient and changing it, ION... If he does focus on you, he'll run through all kinds of strange new combinations presented to you, idea-wise or verbally, scenarios for you to try. He doesn't get stuck in just one kind of chemical body routine of handing doctors brooms. It's faster the way ION does it, and more gets said, done, and shifted.
Yeah, and you get broken out of those institutions in those same similar ways or those biases quicker, more. Yeah.
Yep.
It's a wild ride.
Yep. Okay, so we're at we go to 108. We're looking for coalescence in italics.
While you're looking that up, the part about the medicine in the hands of the patients, that's, I mean, I think about all the people that talk about saving the Remag bottles and, like, giving it to their friends, you know, or telling, you know, all the patients are now being able to be, you know, like Carolyn is trying to show us how to be more in charge of our own health and into our own, in tune with our bodies.
And you can be if you use our products to get you feeling better, heal you. And then from that point on, you're more in charge. You don't need the doctor's advice. You've got the products to keep you going. And then you get more independent in your thinking about what you require health-wise.
Mm-hmm.
You get less obedient to the doctor's paranoia. So I found the section. So Gary Ganosko is talking about Bharati, an up-and-coming philosopher. So on page 111 it says, what Bharati wants to find is evidence of the cognitariat's withdrawal from the semiocapitalist networks and the shapes taken by its independent self-directed organizations, since capital cannot really organize it. A cognitarian insurrection. So he's looking how people are, like, withdrawing from regular, maybe, work and making themselves survive with other self-directed organizations.
That would be the drama of cognition has changed, like, its rapidity, its context, its multiple-bodied nature. You know, does that apply there?
Yeah, in the old days, the drama of cognition was you and interacting with individuals or others in a stable ground, a stable floor, a stable street, stable neighborhood. When everything starts going into flux, then the drama of cognition involves bigger ground shifting, and it's an awareness of that. It gets very more multi-sensory. Not just I, E-Y-E.
Right.
Where there's a stable ground, a stable floor. Now the floor is disappearing half the time. You're sent free-falling. Got to figure out how to reconnect to a temporary floor so you never stop free-falling. So reading what Bharati wants. What Bharati wants to find is evidence of the cognitariat's, that's like the drama of cognition on a new level, the cognitariat's withdrawal from the semiocapitalist networks. You're withdrawing because you've got a chip body to go to remove yourself from your chemical body working zones. And the shake, so he wants to find evidence of the cognitariat's withdrawal from the semiocapitalist networks and the shapes taken by, after they withdraw, by its independent self-directed organization, since capital cannot really organize it. That's what Ayn says. Money, don't look for money. Do it because you want to do it. Money is not there even to help recognize that you did something. Capital cannot really organize it. It's a cognitarian insurrection. The language of coagulation suggests then not a direct and immediate concreteness, but a soft, viscous, and centrifugal semiotics of actualization, displaying attention to the divergences of semiotic types, gradients of unformedness, variations between abstract and concrete poles, and degrees of activity. Oh, and then it says also container effects, in brackets, artifacts. Coagulation of blood is a chemical process of clogging that requires the internal and active presence of platelets and specific proteins that become sticky. Most importantly, the theory of semiocapitalism can learn from the complexity of actualization. That might be using your word power. How it contains a measure of inactuality that makes it impossible to exhaustively grasp. So part of trying to figure out how you actualize this stuff in a new way, it's hard to measure. And suggest the fundamental fragmentariness of potentiality's manifestations. And they're mixing and remixing through the capitalistic networks, but in ways that confirm openness and multiplicity. And is this always ready intervention that theorists of semiocapitalism want to regain from the capitalist exploitation of non-material products of immaterial labor, pulling out, redirected, and reapplying the potential coalesced countervalently adjacent to their semiotic actualizations, stealing it away from capital semio operations, from evaporating in the chimerical value production of financial capital, and forging a social time distinct from capital time. Now, finally get into coalescence. But coalescence is not coagulation, as it is a process of merging that is abstract and temporary, in addition to requiring external influence, like air currents merging water droplets, or consonants merging in a new phonetic circulation in our mouths. In other words, this is why Berardi likes WikiLeaks, Occupy, student protests, debt strikes, anti-austerity struggles, because all of these provide impetus for coalescence, so that general intellect can find a social body that was denied to it by the conditions of semio-capital producers. So that general intellect can find a social body, one of our bodies, that was denied to it by the conditions of semio-capital. Producers may coalesce, but semio-products coagulate.
Everybody can have a cause now.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, and I have AP over AM. That's AP over AM.
Can you read that? Oh, okay.
Read the whole thing.
No, just the last bit. Yeah.
Yeah. But coalescence is not coagulation, as it is a process of merging that is abstract and temporary, in addition to requiring an external influence, like air currents merging water droplets, or consonants merging in a new phonetic articulation in our mouths. In other words, this is why Berardi likes WikiLeaks, Occupy, student protests, debt strikes, anti-austerity struggles, because all of these provide impetus for coalescence so that general intellect can find a social body that was denied to it by the conditions of semio-capital produced. No, that was denied to it by the conditions of semio-capital. That has some sociality that was denied to it by the conditions of semio-capital. Producers may coalesce, but semio-products coagulate.
Okay, producers coalesce, and what was that? What was the second
semio
part of that?
Semio-products coagulate.
Producers coalesce, semio-products coagulate. So the function of producing something is different than the product versus production of a more amorphous coagulation.
Yes.
So the context of function is different. Right.
You're making I think that means doing digital work to make CDs, or you're part of the process of the CD where you do work that doesn't, leads to the CD, but...
Are you saying like a musical CD?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like what is non-material work or labor? It has something to do with typing, I think, or the computer board. You're doing digital work. It's not physical, chemical body work.
Yeah, you're just moving pixels or bits or code around. Even recording music. Well, when you record music with instruments, that moves a little bit more into the production side of things, the analog. But like how Roxy talks to you about how people just hit buttons now to make music.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's more the immaterial.
Immaterial labor. You can make something. It doesn't involve much material.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe it's just acoustic, something you hear. Or maybe, no, then you can see a TV show. You could digitize data to make a TV video. So that involves the other senses. It is an important point.
That's
the economy
still not
has
material.
To yeah. The
traditional sense.
The economists have to look at the new kind of work.
Right.
Right.
Well,
but the
it's
old,
funny, they have to, Bob, but they don't. I mean, on some level, they don't.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
well, these
kind
guys
of...
are, that's what this book is showing people trying to think about it.
Yeah.
But, you know,
how
do you, and these are people who have temp work. They do something for a company, then they disappear. Then they're called
oh,
in
yeah,
for the next
gig.
Project somewhere else. Yeah, next gig. And someone said, you got to look at your jobs as gigs now. And they can't be unionized. How can you gather them? It's too it's too fluid. Not everybody shows up at the next gig. So how do you translate that into chemical bodies, social issues?
Trump.
Yeah, you bring in a Trump.
Like, yeah, again, well, that's the disruption of forming groups, too. That disrupts
the
formation.
That's the autonomy part
Am
of yourself. That's the non-tribal part of yourself, these digital jobs.
Yeah. Yes,
I'm muted.
Manny.
Oh.
You're muted.
I don't understand that question.
I can't hear you.
Because not
I can't hear
not
you.
Not everybody... Right. Good, Bob. Not everybody shows up at the next gig. I don't understand why that means you can't be in a union. That's how
I don't know, but they're... I'm not making unions, but this book is saying there are problems with the old unions adapting to this new situation.
I'm in a union, and we don't all work the same gigs, and it works.
Well, I think these guys want to be anarchists. They still want to overthrow the bourgeoisie. It's hard. If you want to run an to have a little coup there in San Francisco, could you organize these people?
Yes. And this is...
You could.
You could. Yes. And I'm very interested in this question. I heard you earlier say that unions are tribal. Did you say unions are tribal or something to do with them as
the
tribal?
Insurance. Yeah, the group insurance.
Oh, group insurance. Right,
yeah.
The insurance
the HMOs.
Is tribal. I had a little trouble with that.
You don't agree with it?
I'm not sure. I'm not willing to disagree, but I need a little coaxing maybe.
Well, I just heard him say individualist kind of insurance to group insurance. So I just leaped on the word knowing nothing about what he's talking about.
Any group is tribal?
Yeah, it's not individualistic.
Is that what you're saying? Okay, so anything that isn't individualistic is tribal.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
And it's hard now. Everybody had to watch Ed Sullivan in the 50s and 60s at the same time. So TV created a simultaneity factor that made a group consciousness, whereas reading books doesn't create that instant simultaneous. People read books at different times and might not be able to get them on the same page unless you have a bestseller or a fad like the Harry Potter books. But, okay, so that's... The more tribal of the 50s, 60s, as the digital technology came in where people could record the show on their own and not watch it with everybody else, that begins to bring in the individual autonomy, the individual fragmentation from the tribe, from the group. So we get to the point now where the Android meme enhances your individual stuff and your group stuff at the same time in different parts of your multi-bodied life.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Hey, Madeline.
So the Hey, Madeline.
Yes.
Let me just say this. So the autonomizing effect of media, you've got a lot of people there in San Francisco being autonomous, at least socially dressing uniquely, proud of their...
No, you don't anymore,
fashion.
Bob. Not
Beg
anymore.
Pardon?
Not anymore. It's sad. It used to be so fun to sit on the corner in the front of a cafe and people watch, and it is wretched now. Everyone looks like a fucking...
Tell us. Like a blog?
It's not fun.
Now,
like
Madeline,
a blog?
You know why that would be?
Do they look like a blog? Like they're all, like, in the blog and
the
they all wear the same thing?
Yes.
Now,
yes.
Mean by
it
blog,
used to be.
B-L-O-B,
and,
blog.
And I mean, like, 7 years ago, 10 years ago, it was super entertaining to sit in my neighborhood and watch people walk past because everyone was crazy and different and fun and interesting and weird and like, you know, that everyone elicited some kind of or evoked some kind of reaction in me. And now it's just sameness.
Okay.
It looks like
look
a strip mall in fucking Kansas.
Okay, Madeline, this is how you think about it. You say, okay, back when the internet started, that was the beginning of individuation, and people could use it to enhance their individuation to get rid of the tribalism of analog media. But after 10 years of fragmented Facebook and everybody broadcasting their own thing, the tribe or people in general compensate and bounce off the fear of the fragmentation and no connection by over connecting and being the same. I would say one reaction now is in response to Web 2.0 and 10 years ago response to Web 1.0 or earlier.
Oh, yeah, the general intellect, the Simio Capital thing that was just mentioned, that's kind of that effect, everybody dressing more similarly so that they feel like they're in some sort of coalescing
connection.
Force. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to need your help here, Bob, because you may be correct, but what it is here is the influx of all the companies making apps. They all do the same thing. There's all these people here who work in tech, and they provide this quote unquote service, and they're doing the same thing. They're in the same culture, and they dress the same, and they're not from here. And they, it's interesting because a lot of them were drawn here by that image that you had of everyone being freaks and being interesting, you know, like this is a really interesting place to come, but they drove out all the interestingness because they can afford the higher rent. But it's gentrification, and this city has been dramatically changed by that, and I don't know, I mean, maybe you're right, maybe it does really boil down to what you're saying, but I'm not sure.
Producers coalesce.
Producers coalescing. Yeah, so it's people producing a specific thing, though. Yeah, like this.
Yeah, the new technology.
I mean, this was the new technology.
Hey, Madeline, the new technology,
yeah, you're right.
the new product, app making, made a different kind of social effect because it's a different thing than whatever
was done 10
years ago.
Yeah.
Like, I don't
because
even know what you're talking about. I don't know how you're fucking working in this city to make apps. Where do you go? What do you do?
Well, I don't know either. I don't do it. I don't do that. I mean, yeah.
Right.
I'm not, but I see it. I see it. There's a
trip. Yes.
I know. I mean, there are all these buildings with the sign, the company logos and stuff that didn't used to be there. And everyone, they wear a uniform, which is jeans and a collared shirt. And they carry laptop bags, and they get mugged on trains, and I laugh.
Do they wear lanyards?
What happens on the train?
Yes, they wear lanyards. They get mugged.
They get what?
Mugged. Robbed.
Bugged.
Held.
Oh, robbed.
Yeah.
Okay. So listen to this.
Because they're conspicuous.
You got to realize that things are changing in university like every 3 years, and because. Each generation, now just a 2-year spread, has media to create images of its trend of itself, and then the next generation within a couple of years said, we got to be different from that. So you have a turnover of generations, it seems to me, of their self-styling. What, like, there was, remember 10 years ago, the kids made Justin Bieber famous. They're, what are they? Those people are dead or retired or got jobs. They're long gone, right?
No, I think they're working for fucking Twitter downtown right now.
They
and
could be.
Living in my old apartment. I think that's what they're doing.
Right. No, I agree because I jumped that they're already dead, retired. But
they're sick in bed. They can still Twitter when they're sick in bed.
Right. So the point is that these kids are changing themselves for group identity. A put on, because they're not groupish completely, unless the fragmentation is so extreme that people accept the groupiness that wasn't accepted 15 years ago, coming out of the groupiness under analog media. So the simple formula.
But how do you explain, like, not everyone's doing that. I don't think I am, and I don't think a lot of people I know are.
Yes, but that's the new figure. Those people are part of the new technology. And they're a figure for the new ground of apps. That is, I guess, the money-making situation.
Yeah.
I don't know what they are.
Yeah, it's just you make these sweeping generalizations that seem to include everyone, but it's important for me to recognize you're talking about the figure. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
And words are pretty inadequate. I'm trying to talk a trend, so you sound like you're overgeneralizing, but it's like saying, well, ignore the older trends. Look at this trend, and it's only a part of life. But
well, it is a trend.
It seems like everything.
You can't dismiss it. You are correct.
Yeah. But the formula is, if there's new technologies being done, made, and people working with to make money, there's going to be a change in social mores, a change in clothing. Other media will be altered.
Yeah.
That's the formula. Like, I haven't – you know, McLuhan said he didn't think. He didn't think. He did not – he said, my activity does not come from thought. That's because he applied a formula and then looked about how he could reinforce the formula and see if the formula is still viable. I'll say that I haven't thought – in 30 years, other than my
existence. You just apply the same formula.
The same fucking point.
That's really simple.
Right. And when you're around people who never heard of it, it sounds revolutionary or amazing or shocking. But now you can do it. It's not that. It is new. No one ever really had that technique. But there's so much change and so fast, you can do this formula.
Lather,
so
rinse,
here I'm saying, oh, yes, the app industry has totally fucking done this and done that, blah, blah, blah. And I rely on a few things I heard, like from people like Madeline, who actually saw the people. I never see these people. I am describing a virtual pattern based on virtual information. If you take virtual meaning, it ain't
real.
There. It never None
real.
Of my data formed. I just made it up. I don't even know what the word app is.
Coagulating.
Really.
You coagulating.
Yeah, coagulating.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm coagulating. We're going to find out what coalescing is in a minute.
He makes the matter less thick.
Yeah. I take unformed matter and keep it unformed.
But it's sticky.
Keep it unformed.
With a slight semioticity.
Non-matter.
I even got new words there. I got a slight semioticity in there, like some kind of side matter.
Semioticity.
That's what your next part is going to be called.
No, it's just, you don't keep it unformed, Bob. You're always forming it and reforming it. It's like Play-Doh in your hands, and you squish
it making up
a different
new patterns.
Way. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
I'm creative
and
in that thing.
Valid.
Now, I do have...
Bob, it's Play-Doh in your hand.
Yeah, Play-Doh in my hand.
Oh,
Play-Doh.
Good one, Carolyn. That's excellent.
So you can find in Finnegan's Wake the word Play-Doh, Playdouth, and you'll be know, if it's Finnegan's Wake, to read it as Play-Doh on one level, the philosopher, and Play-Doh on another level.
Play-Doh.
That's the way Joyce wrote his
Play-Doh.
He had several stories going along, and each word.
Bob, I just have to make this interjection, because it was tremendous for me to hear you say the other day that the way you hear things, it's frustrating to me to hear you can't understand what people are saying, And you can't understand, like, when you're reading, you have to reread and reread and reread. And then you said, it's from reading Finnegan's Wake, and now it, I get it. It makes so much sense.
You
can't look at anything
at face value.
Univocal.
Nothing is at face value for you.
Well, face value will be literal, one level, univocal level.
Univocal,
use another word, univocal.
Right.
Now it's a new Bob for us. Now you're a new Bob for me. Now you're new Bob because I see that more. I get that now. So now you're fresh.
And so how does that make me new?
Like maybe I'm watching you at another level.
The process. You know the process of Bob.
We know the process, and that makes a difference. It does. It's like I have a little more patience. For it now.
It's like you just discovered the next level. It's like a game.
You know what I mean?
It's like a video game. And we're at level 22 now.
Yeah. Yeah. You move yourself up. And what will we
talk about? You know what I mean?
Yeah. What were we talking about just before that? Because I didn't finish it, I don't think.
Coalescing?
Yeah, no, just some. What?
Substance,
what was
the
first thing you brought up, Madeline? You got excited about what you learned about my process, but what were you saying before that? We were talking about the apps, but I don't know what the app. Oh, the virtual.
Well,
the unformed pattern about the unformed thing that I didn't.
The formless. See, this is the anti-matter.
Yeah,
unmatter.
Well, and you're saying that you don't form things, but you do. You do form them.
Yes.
But then you reform them. You just constantly.
Yeah,
very temporary. Yeah.
Quantum substance.
Yeah.
You create substance.
James
Kidney,
who played the head of the Watchers in Fringe and Nelson Thalnai in 1983, formed. This is what James Kidney's response, or their both response to me after listening to me talk for a while. They said, "We're forming the Center for Fuzzy Thinking." That was an early, immature interpretation of what I was doing. Fuzzy thinking.
And it is that, because it's in and out, Bob. It's there, and
that's
then
right.
It's gone. Then it's
that's
there,
right.
And then it's gone again.
And you'll see Ion does that a lot, too. He really does do that. Denies what he just said in another way. And then if he talks fast, it's just packed in the flips of presence and absence, over a 30-second rant.
I got to say, that is the value in sticking to this for me.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just, you cannot listen to Bob for a week or a month and Ion and think that you get it. You can't.
You can't do it.
You've got to go through all the squishing and changing. And only then you start to sort of get it. At least
you don't get near enough.
Madeline, the bait and switch.
Yeah, the bait and switch of Bob.
Yeah,
that's
true.
Yeah, I watched on the streets of Paris those guys that do the little bead underneath the cup, and they move it around, and you have to follow and guess where the bead ended up. And they really fool people with that.
Where's Bob? Where's the Bob?
Yeah, that's right. Where's Bob? Yeah. Is that real Bob? Is that
now
true
Bob?
Bob?
Okay.
Fake Bob?
All right,
lying
we're
Bob?
Moving him. Where's Bob? All right, now where's
there
Bob?
There's no real Bob.
Bob is an unformed substance.
Yeah.
No, you're coagulated quantum substance.
Yeah, coagulation and coalescence. No, you gotta hang around to find out what coalescence means. We've just done coagulation. So, but you're right, and I always tell people, I now say, if they say, "Oh, I heard Ion, that's not good," I said, "You got to listen to over 1,000 hours. You got to actually spend time if you want to find out what's going on here."
You do.
Yeah,
it doesn't make
out
it just gets better, but then it just gets better. Again, I've only reached, there's so many more levels to the game that it's just exciting to get to.
And
the
I
next
am
one
faithful.
Because
I say, stay here. Might hurt. You're going to get hurt. I'm going to scare you.
You are going to get hurt.
It's going to be okay. It'll be okay, John.
Yeah. I may get hurt, really. I mean, you're going to get hurt, but it'll be okay.
It'll be okay.
We'll give you the products to get over it. We have products to help you get through this.
Sometimes you repeat that in your head over and over. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. It's okay. It'll be okay.
What does he
That'll
say to the first sentence?
Okay.
This is going to scare you?
Yeah,
yeah, what
scare you?
This first thing scare you? This
scare
will
you.
Scare I'm going
scare
to tell you something. This will scare you.
No,
this
well,
will Bob
no.
will scare you.
If I get hurt really bad, if I get hurt
no,
real
that's
bad.
Later. That's phase two. He opens by saying, now I'm going to tell you something that will
yes.
scare you.
Yes.
you.
Yes.
They've never told you. And it may scare you.
Something to
and
tell
it's really
you.
Great. When they show the his wife walking along the streets of some place in the States, she's got her headphone, her little buds in, and she's walking along like nervously and wide-eyed. Like she's hearing that right when you're hearing it. And she says, oh, what's going to happen? You know, she's a bit worried. It's a nice scene when you look at the video of it, of her. This is communication between husband and wife today. He got the little
yeah,
buds in her ears.
In the if you haven't seen the show, you don't know that they haven't seen each other for years. She's just constantly
yeah,
worrying.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Him.
And she's living on these communications. She likes them, you know. And then he says, it's going to scare you, but then he's going to get hurt. I guess it scares her that he's going to get hurt. That's what he's warning her.
It's all in the name of
yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. He knows she
all
cares is what happens to him. And he's like,
right, and
it
it's totally
matter.
Like Gary Ganasco says. It's a signifying. You won't. You don't have. He's telling you to do all the normal human emotions. Forget, remember. By he says, do not do any of them. You won't have to do any of them. Like this is a non-communication. It's an unformed, goalless, conclusionless communication. Is what he's giving her. It's really modern what he's doing. That's what's fun about it. It's very modern. Very up to date about what's happening in the a signifying world.
Yeah.
Yep.
And only through our show would you find this out. You won't make these connections. Like a man has to go around work tomorrow with these new connections, holding her tongue because she can't tell anybody what she just
Bob,
heard.
You have no idea. I don't know how I fucking get through every day now.
this is you're being changed by our environment. This information environment changes
profoundly,
you.
Absolutely profoundly. It's amazing, and that song actually has been going through my head, and not the tune, but the sense of it. There's some kind of alchemy going on there. Yeah, the meaning of
yeah.
it. And
sweetheart.
Yeah, I just.
that's what you're thinking towards your fellow workers. You actually are thinking, sweetheart, but I'm not going to say anything.
Nothing to hold, nothing to change, nothing to transfer, nothing to...
That is
they're
a
like
signifying.
Railing, they're railing about something, and I'm like, that's going through my head, and my eyes are glazing over, and I'm
sweetheart.
Like,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, Madeline, yeah, it's intriguing. Jean is going through a different context for applying this. She's in a different kind of social life.
Yeah.
You know, a different. Yeah. She's taking the same effect, and then she has to deal with it in a different world, but mainly your animals, I guess.
Well, yeah, or if I
well,
go
it's
out.
Well, it's weird for me because it's not – none of it is mentally worked out by me. Like, you know, I'm not synthesizing any of this, but I am
remembering. Right.
It's weird.
You're
it's
remembering.
Still working. It's still doing something. It's
That's right.
Yeah.
It's like finding his way. One word is a pattern. You just have one, a couple
yeah.
of words is enough.
Mm-hmm.
Application is instantaneous.
Truly. It really
without,
is.
Yeah, without trying. It just changes your
Right. Now, is Alex here? Did Alex survive this far?
Oh,
Iowa.
I was going to say, is that
Wake
Alex Kukis?
Who's
Alex?
That's what I said. I said to him, are you Alex Kukis? Hello, Alex. Unfortunately, it wasn't.
Oh, I'm here.
Okay.
Oh, Alex, still here. That's pretty good, Alex, for first night. You're processing a lot here. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm taking it in as well as I can.
All these women. Here we're hearing modern women dealing with the effect of Dobbstown at work, at play, in their different environments. They're trying to process this sort of ethereal drug.
It is. It is an ethereal drug. It fucking is. Sorry.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I'm still. Can I use semiosticity in a like Scrabble? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be in the dictionary tomorrow, Alex.
Yeah,
no worries.
Semiosity.
Yeah.
And you know, guys, the word semiology is on the chart. It's in the Thompson Quadrant. So we've gone into that one word and blown up a whole bunch of information around it. That's how the chart contains everything. You can get any one of the categories, the 322 categories in the Tiny Note chart. Every one of them is a world. So we've gone into the semiology creativity.
Beautiful.
Synthesized by Gary Ganasco.
Beautiful.
Oh, my God.
Beautiful.
Love that.
It is. Yep, that was a wow. I'll be Cha for a minute and go, gosh.
Where is Cha? We don't know. Is Cha, like, is she conked out?
She'll listen to this.
Did she make it?
Gosh.
Yeah, she'll listen to it, right. She's probably realized that it's not so urgent. She doesn't have to show up at every show and hang on until she classes.
I know. You can really fuck yourself up with this.
Yeah, because you think we're going somewhere that next week
it.
Is going to be a – yeah, it's going to be – next week you're going to get the big revelation. And she's been waiting breathlessly for about 3 months and no big revelation has really arrived.
Disrupting her entire sleep pattern.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm
barely hanging
that.
On by a thread, taking the drop.
But the fun of it is occasionally major statements are made within the ratios of confusion.
I only laugh because I've been there.
Yes,
I still
and I know you've been there.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We know exactly what Alex is going to go through. We know what's going to happen.
Alex, you are doomed. You are so doomed.
Yeah. You're going to be appalled by Bob's behavior. Just appalled at some point.
Right. And you're damn lucky, Alex. Ian ain't here. You're pre-doomed if Ian shows up. It's not even
pre-doomed.
You were doomed. You already got doomed.
That sounds a little bit Christian, pre-doomed. Full Adam and Eve.
Oh, yeah. We're,
it does.
Whatever religion you want.
Lord.
We do all the religions.
No, Bob.
We do all.
Existed before Christ, Alex. Believe that.
We're not afraid of
anything.
I'm
like,
we're so pre-doomed.
When I found you, Ion was on a break. And it was the same thing for me.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, I got in when I was
too.
On a break as well.
Me too.
All of you, 2013, class of 2013.
Yeah, it was a good
no,
year.
No, I was 2011.
It was a year before Ion showed up.
I was 2014.
Well, if you were 2011, Madeline, you had to come in December because he was gone December 1st, 2011. So if
I
you were
in
2011
in November.
Before that,
November 2011.
Well, it might have been the end of the month because
it was
here.
Around thanks.
Yeah, how did you miss? Were you listening to the archive or live?
Live. I heard an interview with you, and I called in immediately the next show, next live show, and you gave me a heap of shit. And I said, can I talk to Ion? And you said, ha, 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 no.
Why'd they do that? Because Ion was gone?
Because Ion was gone.
Yeah, Ion was gone, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that
you,
means
Ion,
you heard me the
part?
Last week in November. And if you called in and Ion was gone, that would have been the first week of December. Because if you
no,
you know, heard me.
It was definitely, nope. It wasn't the first week.
Well, how
could
I not have been there?
Ian
was there
until
November 30th.
No, he wasn't. 2011?
Yep, 2011.